I want to introduce my wife to you. I didn't really do that in the first service. This is Faye right here. And Faye, can you just stand up and turn around? Yes, that's good. I'm in trouble, I can tell. let me tell you where I met Faye. I met Faye at Word of Life Island up in Scroon Lake, New York. I had worked there all summer as a summer camp staff. She had worked at another camp. She came over to Word of Life Island the last day. If you don't know what Word of Life Island is, it's a 40-acre island out in the middle of Scroon Lake, and we have spiritual Alcatraz there. We have about 400 teenagers a week that come there, and they can't get off, and they're guaranteed a speedboat ride over there and a pontoon boat ride back, and we have a great time together. We teach the word, and I was working there that summer, and it was the last day. I was packing my car, and I looked down at the dock, and I saw this beautiful lady walking up the dock with long blonde hair down to her hips, and I just stopped, and I just looked at her. I thought, that is the most beautiful lady I've ever seen in my life. And she came right up by my car and looked at my car and started talking to me. That didn't happen very much. So she said, I see you have a Tennessee license plate. I said, yeah. And she said, well, I'm going to Tennessee tomorrow. I said, really? Me too. Where are you going? And she said, I'm going to Chattanooga, and I'm going to start into a Christian school there. I said, which one? And she told me. I said, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to go there, and I'll start in that school tomorrow too. I was. Didn't just make that up. But for the moment, I forgot that I was going with another girl, and so I looked at her and said, hey, we'll have to get to know each other when we get to school, and we did. We became friends, and she went home for Christmas, and her boyfriend broke up with her. I went to see my girlfriend at Christmas, and she broke up with me. That was good. And we had our first date at the Valentine's banquet our freshman year of college, and we, you know, kind of hung out together for a few years. 4 years later, I asked her to be my wife. I know I'm slow, guys, but I had a plan, and it was to finish college and then get married. And so that beautiful girl became my wife. And we've been together for 42 years, and God has led us all over the place. It's funny, our first date was to that Valentine banquet. And then in Chattanooga, there's mountains around like here. And we had another couple with us, and we took a ride up Lookout Mountain. And I was never a good driver. I mean, I always made people sick when they rode in my car. And about halfway up the mountain, she said, this is really rhotic. And I said, rhotic? What's that? And she said, oh, that's romantic without the man. So I had my work cut out for me. You know, I had to win her heart. And we did. And then we started with Word of Life. We've been in Tennessee and California and Florida, and now we're in New York. We do things opposite. You know, most people our age start in New York and move to Florida. Well, we started in Florida and moved up to New York, and we love it up here. We love that. She was raised actually in Scroon Lake, so she was like coming home, but we just love it up here, having a great time. That has nothing to do with my message. I just wanted you to meet my wife. But I want to ask you a question. What are you dealing with right now? What kind of emotion do you have today? What are you worried about? What are you afraid of? What kind of consumes your thoughts? What emotion are you experiencing? Fear, anxiety, resentment, anger, guilt? I feel like I was thinking this morning as I was just studying these notes about our daughter-in-law, Annie. Our daughter-in-law, Annie, is married to Rob, and Rob pastors Broad Auburn Baptist Church. It's around here somewhere. I have no clue where we are. I just followed Garmin, but I think it's around here somewhere. Annie will say to you, how are you doing, Pops? And I'll say, I'm fine. Well, what's going on in your life? And I'll tell her some things going on in my life, and she'll say, well, how do you feel about that? You know, and give me that look on her face like, how am I supposed to feel? You know, what would you like me to say now? And I'm not trying to get you to give me your emotion, but let me ask you something. Is there anything you're going through right now? Well, I want to share with you a ministry principle that I have seen work over and over again. This is absolutely true. Here it is. God always gives his people exactly what they need, exactly when they need it, if they trust him and walk by faith. Let me just say that again, because that's big, okay? God always gives his people exactly what they need, exactly when they need it, if they trust him and walk by faith. Now, let me give you a dumb illustration, because I like dumb illustrations. I like the movie called Great Escape. It kind of dates me because it's a really old movie.
But at one point in this movie, Steve McQueen is being chased by the German soldiers, and he has broken out of prison, and that's why they call it the Great Escape. And he grabs a motorcycle, and he jumps on this motorcycle, and he's just taking off on this motorcycle, and he is going and going, and they're all chasing him. And all of a sudden, he jumps over this big barbed wire fence, and he's going to jump back. And you know, at just the time this happens, and at just the right time this happens, and at just the right time this happens, he finally gets caught. So the illustration breaks down. But as you watch this movie, it's just thrilling to see the way everything opens up at just the right time. Now, folks, here's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. If you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows you too. And He cares about everything going on in your life. And at just the right time, things will happen the way He needs them to happen to help you discern how good of a God He is. Several times, Word of Life has asked us to move. One time, Word of Life asked us to move from Nashville, Tennessee to Los Angeles, California. So we packed up our truck. We were like the Beverly Hillbillies, you know. We packed everything in our truck and pulled our car along. We were going thousands of miles to a place we had never been to. We never even visited there. We just said, hey, we'll go if that's what you want. And all along the way, at just the right time, God provided for us. We got there, and we had no money. We were missionaries. We had to raise the money to live there. We had no money when we got there. God provided a house. And at just the right time, He provided another house. God, we didn't have a car, and God provided a car at just the right time. And that car engine went out, and a man in our church came up to us, and he said, hey, let me take you down on a ride today. And he took me down to the Chevrolet dealer. We got out of the car. He said, hey, pick out something for you and your family. Just the right time. One night, we were getting ready to pay our rent the next day. It was due the next day. We didn't have the money to pay our rent. And we had dinner for our sons. And I looked at our sons and said, tonight we're going to have a prayer meeting for the rent money to come in because it's due tomorrow. And it wouldn't be a good testimony not to pay it. And somehow God's going to help us pay the rent. So we prayed. And just about time we got finished praying, somebody knocked on the door. And it was Tony. Tony was an Italian guy from our church. And he was standing there. He said, hey, Tom, how you doing? I said, I'm good, Tony. How are you doing? He said, well, you know, I was just thinking about you. I was at my house, and I was looking. You know, when I go home every night, I take all my change, and I put it in jugs. And I have a five-gallon jug for the nickels and the quarters and the dimes and the pennies. And he said, I was just looking at that money thinking, what am I going to do with that? And he said, you know, I thought I'd bring you some. And he brought me a five-gallon jug of nickels. You know how many nickels were in there? I have no clue. But there was enough to pay the rent the next day. At just the right time, God provided. Because God knows our needs, and He's a God that likes to meet our needs. So I want you to turn to a portion of Scripture that will illustrate that this morning, and it's Galatians chapter 4. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 4, and we're going to go over to verse 7. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Before we read, I'm just going to pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Lord, this is such an exciting passage of Scripture. And I pray that I can convey what these verses actually say to us who know and love Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that I would also be able to convey what these verses mean to maybe someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior. May these verses show people here that don't know Christ that, wow, today is the day of salvation, and they need to get in on this thing, Lord. It's so exciting. I pray that You would speak through Your Word, and that these dear people that have come to church this morning would hear from You and not from me. For it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. So we're looking at Galatians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 4. It says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. What an incredible passage. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to look at 9 keys to victory, okay? And it's going to go really quickly. You're thinking 9 points. Oh, my goodness. How long is that going to take? Well, it's not going to take long. Of course, we're going to fly through here. But here's the first one. When the fullness of time had come, which means
at just the right time. The picture
that the Greek words draw in that little phrase is an hourglass. Okay? And there's sand in it, right? And we used to have one of these at our house, and whenever I called my girlfriend, my dad would say, "You have 3 minutes. And here's the thing you can use." And he would put it up beside me, and the sand would be going down, you know, or the salt or the sugar, whatever's in there, and it would keep going down, it would keep going down. And I would think, "Oh, I've got to get off the phone," and just, it's coming to an end. I didn't know what to say, and I would freeze up. But
at just the right time, God wants to do His will in our lives. I've already talked to you about paying our rent over and over again. At just the right time, God knows exactly what you need and when you need it. Okay? Here's the second one. It says, when the fullness of time had come, the next word is what? God. God. So significant a word right there. When the fullness of time had come, God. It's the word theos, the supreme divinity, the sovereign God, the God that is in charge. I have a friend named Ray Pritchard. He speaks at Word of Life a lot, and he's on the radio a lot, and he says this to me, "Tom, here's the deal. Tom, God is large and in charge." And He is. God's large and in charge. I love my wife's prayer. And sometimes she looks at me and she says, "Tom, God must know what He's doing." And He does all the time. He knows exactly what we need, and He knows exactly what He's doing. So it says, but when the fullness of time had come at just the right time, God, the sovereign God, the God that's in charge, the God that's large and in charge, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, His only Son. At just the right time, God sent His only Son on a mission. The world was steeped in sin. The Jewish nation had almost become totally assimilated into the heathen culture. They weren't separate anymore, okay? The sacrificial system was ineffective. It wasn't working. There was no sorrow for sin. All of the human race was plunging headlong toward an eternity in hell. The heathen nations didn't know God. And the Jewish people didn't accept God. They rejected Him. So God had this new paradigm. The paradigm was, when the fullness was come, God sent forth His Son, His own Son, His only Son. Who is that Son? Well, let's read about it in a minute. Keep your finger in Galatians or put your marker there and turn back over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And let me just read a few verses there in John chapter 1. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The Son of God is God Himself because of the Trinity. He's the Creator God. He's the God that gives everlasting life. He's the God that gives light into a dark world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." But there's a couple more references to Jesus in this passage. Now look at our passage again in Galatians chapter 4. And it says in verse 4, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." But let's go back to verse 4. "God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Made of a woman, which means born of a woman. Because Jesus was born of a woman, He was totally human. So He knows what human beings need, right? He knows our needs. He also came so He could be tempted in every area like us, yet never sin. And then He was born under the law. What does that mean? That means that because Jesus was Jewish, He was born under the law. And that's so great because He came to change the law. The law had become ineffective. The sacrificial system was compromised. There needed to be a better way. And Jesus came to give a better way. That's why in John 1, 10 to 12, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on Him. Now think about what that means for us. Think about the fact that Jesus came to the Jews, but the Jews rejected Him. Think about the fact that when He died on the cross, He died for every single man. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for me and He died for you. As a matter of fact, when Jesus died on the cross, He knew you. And He knew you would be a sinner. And He died for you. You say, where do you get that, Tom? Romans 5:8. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God. Now, I was raised as a preacher's son. And I felt like as a preacher's son, if anybody should go to heaven, I should go to heaven, because I had to go to church every time the doors were open. Okay? I had to go Sunday morning. I had to go Sunday night. I had to go Wednesday night. I had to go to visitation on Thursday night. Sometimes my dad would even take me to the deacon's meeting, because mama's doing something else. So I went to church a lot. So I figured, man, if anybody's saved, I'm saved. I got it made in the shade, Jade.
Well, one day, I don't know why I just said that, but that's what I said. One day, I came to the conclusion, after reading the Bible and hearing from my dad's preaching, that I wasn't going to go to heaven because I was the preacher's son. That I wasn't going to go to heaven because I went to church. That I wasn't going to go to heaven because I was good, because I wasn't good. I was a sinner. I heard that only by making a personal acceptance of what Jesus did for me on the cross could I know that I was on my way to heaven. And that day, I decided today's the day to get it right. That day, I said, God, I'm a sinner. God, thank You for sending Jesus to die for my sin. God, I want to know I'm saved. God, I want a home in heaven. God, I want You to forgive me and save me. That day I was saved. Now listen to our passage. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, listen, to redeem them that were under the law. Ah, that's the mission. That's why Jesus Christ came. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son to this earth to redeem all of us. You know what redeem means? Redeem means pay the price. Because I'm a sinner. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And Jesus came to this earth to redeem me, to pay my debt of sin, to give me a home in heaven, to make sure that I could know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Let me give you an illustration of what it means to be redeemed.
I play golf every once in a while. I'm not good, but I play golf, okay? I played on the team in high school. I was good back then, but I'm not good now. I was playing with my father golf one day, and I have a wicked slice. When I hit the ball, it goes that way. So I hit the ball, and as usual, went in the woods on the right. And so I only had a few golf balls that day, so I'm tromping through the woods looking for my golf ball. And there's this little kid in the woods, and he's sitting under a tree, and he has all these golf balls around him. He says, hey, man, you want to buy a golf ball? I said, well, let me see your golf balls. My ball was there. I said, that's my ball right there. He said, no, that's my ball. So I found it. Found it in the woods. It's my ball. I said, honestly, that's my ball. I have that mark. See that marking? That's my marking. And he said, I'll sell you that ball. But it's my ball. I found it. So that day, I bought my golf ball back. Now, that's a stupid illustration, but let me tell you what Jesus Christ did. Jesus, the Creator, God created us. He put us on this earth. He loved us from the moment He created us. He's been pursuing us ever since we were born. He put us on this earth because He has an awesome plan for our life. He wants to bless us and give us a life that's abundant. But what did we do? We went our own way. We followed the ways of Satan. We followed the ways of sin. So God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for us so He could purchase us
back after he already created us. That's what redemption is. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Wow. That's why Jesus came. It's awesome. Have you ever seen one of those game shows where they have the host, you know, and it may be one of those shows where they spin the wheel or whatever, and the game show host is there, and he has this really great voice, and he says this. He says, "You've just won an all-expense-paid trip for two to the beautiful city of Puerto Vallarta." Ah! You know, the music starts. But that's not all. That's not all. You're also going to receive $5,000 in spending money. But that's not all. Because Puerto Vallarta, you need to get around. We're also going to give you two scooters just to get around on. But that's not all. We're going to fly you and a companion there. And it goes through all these things and you're thinking, yeah, right, that would really happen to me, ever. But listen, as you look at this passage, think about that little phrase, "but that's not all." Listen as I read Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." That's so great. But that's not all. "That we might receive the adoption of sons." You see, the deal is, when God paid for our sin, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, God brings us into his family. He adopts us. We become the children of God. I love that. We had a pastor that came and spoke at Word of Life recently, and he and his wife went all the way to Russia to an orphanage to adopt a child. They didn't have a child picked out, but they went into this orphanage, and they just sat down. They were watching the children play. And this girl came up and pulled herself up on the knee of this pastor and looked at him right in the face and started jabbering. She was jabbering in Russian so he couldn't figure out what she was saying. And he looked at the interpreter and said, "What's she saying?" The interpreter said, "Here's what she's saying. She's saying, if you will take me home with you, I will be your housekeeper. I will be the best housekeeper you've ever had. I will keep your house spotlessly clean. If you will take me home with you, I will cook your meals. I'll be the best cook you've ever had. I will do all that for you. Just take me home with you." And this man and his wife started crying. And they looked at her and they said, "You know what? We want to take you home with us. But we don't want to take you home to cook. We don't want to take you home to clean the house. We want to take you home to be our daughter. We want to take you home to love you and provide for you and clean your room and cook meals for you, because we want you to be a part of our family." Folks, that's exactly what God does for us. He adopts us out of the slave market of sin and makes us part of his family. But wait, that's not all. It says in chapter 4, verse 5, "to redeem them that were under the law." Got my page turning right in the middle of this passage. "That we might receive the adoption of sons, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." You see, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into you. And at the time of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. And why does the Holy Spirit of God move in? To comfort you, to convict you, to guide you, to illuminate the Word of God to you, to correct you, to encourage you. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does. And we have all of the Spirit. He moves into our lives and he helps us live for God. Listen, but that's not all. "That we might cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit of God always leads us to the throne of God. Did you know that? The Spirit of God always leads us to the throne of God. And we come to the throne of God, we fall in God's arms and we say, "Abba, Father." Right? When we were in Florida, we were really, really busy. When we moved to Florida, the ministry there was way in debt. And the first thing we had to do was lay off half the staff. And it made our job twice as busy. And we were busy. But I looked at my administrative assistant, the secretary, and I said to her, "Anytime one of my sons wants to come into my office, no matter what I'm doing, let him in. I always have time for my sons. Just let him in." You know, that's what God does to us. He says, "Come to me. Follow my arms, and I will
be your Abba, your daddy, your father. Here's what I think is really, really awesome. You know, some people get saved and they go to church a few weeks and then they kind of wander away from God. They just get distracted by the world and they wander away from God and they get further and they get further and they get further and they get further away from God. And sometimes they think, wow, I'm too far away from God. I can never come back. But here's the deal. When you turn around, God's right there and He's pursued you and He's your daddy. And all you have to do is fall into His arms. That's why we call Him Abba, Father.
That's the kind of daddy He is. He always loves us. He always pursues us. So we've been reading this passage. And it says, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Listen, verse 7, because that's not all. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, folks, before we were saved, we were slaves. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to Satan. But now we're free. That's big, huh? I want to go, woo! That's big. I'm no longer a slave to sin. If you know Jesus Christ, look at the person next to you and say, hey, I'm no longer a slave. Did you do it? There you go. You did it with great passion, too. I'm proud of you. That's what we have in Christ. Folks, we're coming into the Easter season.
This is where we celebrate all that, right? We celebrate the fact that Jesus died on the cross so we could have redemption, so we could have the Holy Spirit in our life, so we could be the sons of God, so we could go up to God and say, Daddy, I need you right now, so that we don't have to be slaves to sin any longer. We're free.
So I want to go back to my original question. What are you dealing with? What are you worried about? What are you angry about? What are you fearful of? What do you feel like, man, nobody else knows or cares about this but me, and I'm bearing it all by myself? You either need to meet Jesus Christ and let Him take those burdens with you and from you, or you just need to today, for the first time, say, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please come into my life and save me.
Now, I don't know
you wonderful people. I'm so thankful for your kind attention, but I don't know you. But you know what? I don't have to, because God knows you, and God loves you. And He knows your burden, and He knows your fears, and He knows your anxieties, and He knows your emotions, and He knows your cares. And He says, I'm Daddy. I want to help you. Your Abba, Father. I sent my Son to pay for your sins. He died on the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He went to the grave for you. And He rose again for you to show you that you can have everlasting life. All you have to do is turn around and fall into my arms and believe, and you can be saved. If you've walked away from God, it's the same thing. Just turn around and fall into His arms and say, God, I've walked away. I'm walking back. And what I think that's neat is this.
When you turn around, you're turning your back on that stuff. And when you fall in Jesus' arms, you're believing, you're trusting Him.
Would you do that today? Let's have everybody bow your head and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Would you be honest with me today? How many of you would say, Tom, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I know that for sure. That's my testimony. I remember the time when I asked Jesus to save me and forgive me and give me a home in heaven. I know for sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I know that. I know that. Thank you. That's awesome. You can put them down. Is there anyone here today that would say, Tom, I'm just not sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But man, I've heard about God today. I've heard about Jesus Christ. I've heard about heaven, I've heard about hell, and I have to say I'm concerned about my life. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm concerned, and I'd like you to pray for me. Is anyone like that? I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm concerned. pray for me. I'm just looking around. Anyone? Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful church. Thank you for these people that are so excited about you. Lord, I pray that we would learn as Christians to fall in your arms, to give you our anxieties, to give you our concerns, to give you our guilt and ask for forgiveness, to give you our burdens and allow them to roll on your back, to walk with you, to feel your love. Help us, dear Lord. And as heads are bowed, how many of you here would say, Tom, I know for a fact that I'm a Christian, but as you've been preaching this morning, there's some things that I've just been convicted of in my life, some things I just need to let God take for me, things that I don't need to carry, some things in my life I'm thinking about that need to change. Maybe that's you. God has spoken to me this morning in some way. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? God has spoken to me. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Pray for me. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Lord, we commit these dear people to you. We love you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.